Lord, may the words of my mouth be your words, and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The third week of Lent in the book Unrevealed Until Its Season is called Prone to Wander, Hymns of Forgiveness. The hymn for this Sunday is, of course, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Although sin is the primal theme of the Lenten season, something we don't really like to talk much about, it's not about recrimination or a nagging feeling of having done something wrong. It's not about, I'm a bad person, or I've really made a mess of things. Sin is visible when we see ourselves in the light of Jesus' life. We see the perfection of Jesus and the imperfection of our own lives, and that gap is sin. This is the grief we live with that we so desperately want to cure, but can't on our own. Can a hymn bring about healing, bridging the gap between us and God? Forgiveness is the theme we want to focus on. Hear the word of God from Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14, the parable of the lost sheep. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go out to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to hold an image in your mind. Imagine that you are that one sheep out of 100 that gets lost, that you've wandered off to the other side of the hill or behind a grove of trees, away from the main flock. You may not even realize that you're missing or that you are missed. It could be that your mind is on some issue that you're struggling with. It could be an addiction or the crosswords you threw at someone who cut you off in traffic, or something that you want but don't really need and you can't get it off your mind. Whatever the case, you are not in tune with the shepherd, not even knowing where he is. So how can a hymn bring about that healing that gets us back to Jesus' side? In the United Methodist hymnal, and feel free to pull one out if you choose, there are themed sections that you can see in the upper left-hand corner on the left page, on the left pages. Starting at number 382, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, all the way over to number 536, Precious Name, there are songs and prayers about sanctifying and perfecting grace. These are hymns that recognize that we are imperfect works and become pleased to Jesus for his perfection in our lives. Number 410, I Want a Principle Within, was written by Charles Wesley. And the first stanza is a good summary of today's topic. I want a principle within of watchful, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire to catch my wandering will, the wandering of my will, and quench the kindling fire. That's that little voice telling us that we're wandering away. Just as we sung this morning, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. This hymn is one of those songs that has the power to bridge the gulf between human brokenness and divine presence. It succeeds partly from the tune and the harmonies. Even without the words, it feels cheerful to start with, and then soaring, and then coming back to earth. There are so many phrases that bring images to mind. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, acknowledges that we have an unending need for mercy. When we sing, "Tune my heart to sing thy grace," we recognize that our hearts get out of tune and create racket as the background music of life. We are encouraged to sing some melodious sonnet with songs of loudest praise. You might wonder, how do we get out of tune in the first place? Guitar and piano strings need regular attention. Time, pressure, temperature, and humidity slowly and imperceptibly pull an E string down to an E flat, or even to a D. Never upward, always sagging lower. You see Matt and the other guitar players checking the sound of their strings before playing to be sure the guitar is in tune. Life's pressures, the passing of time, the heat of the day, and our tears can be depressive, bringing us down. It is God's mercy and the truth of God's grace that pulls upward what has sagged, returning our hearts to their proper place, the mood of praise for the fount of every blessing. What is a blessing? We get confused, like a rickety, out-of-tune piano, thinking that a blessing is something we wish for. A nice house, cute knickknacks, sumptuous food, a new car, stellar health. The hymn knows better. The blessing is God's mercy, which comes from the mount of thy redeeming love. And which mount is this? Well, let's see. God's love gave Moses the commandments on Mount Sinai. Jesus taught from a mount above Galilee. The Jordan River flows from the melting snows of Mount Hermon. And Solomon's temple was built on Mount Zion. But it's the Mount of Calvary where, to rescue me from danger, Jesus interposed his precious blood. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure to safely arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. I had to look up what it means, what a sheepfold is, and it just means flock. One question a lot of people have when singing Come Thou Fount is, what is an Ebenezer? As in, here I raise mine Ebenezer. Probably don't get to say Ebenezer very often, but it's a good one. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Philistines were on the verge of annihilating the Israelites. But with the help from Samuel's faithful leadership, God delivered the people. In gratitude and to commemorate God's deliverance, Samuel erected a large stone monument and named it Ebenezer, which in Hebrew means stone of help. In Israel and many other places, stone walls keep sheep close to home. The so-called Wailing Wall in Jerusalem is an impressive array of huge stones where people pray and insert little paper prayers. In Belmont, North Carolina, the Catholic Basilica at Belmont Abbey has an Ebenezer-like baptismal font, a large stone that once functioned as a trading block for the marketing of enslaved persons in antebellum America, was recarved and made into the font, bearing this inscription, and I quote, "Upon this rock, men once were sold into slavery. Now upon this rock, through the waters of baptism, men become free children of God," unquote. This Ebenezer font is the fount of every blessing. Our hymn refers to that moment in time when we realize that we've been found again and we are in the presence of Jesus, that we raise a figurative monument to celebrate the moment. And now that we're found, we're trusting that we will have everlasting life with Jesus, home in heaven. Isaac Watts was born in 1674 in England. And he was considered the father of English hymnody, which is nothing more than writing music that interprets the Bible rather than putting actual scripture to music. He was a pastor of a nonconformist church, a church that dissented from the Church of England. And he wrote many educational books on geography, astronomy, grammar, and philosophy, which were widely used throughout the 1700s. But today, he is best known for his hymns. He wrote, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," "O God, our help in ages past," and "My Shepherd will supply my need." This last hymn is based on the 23rd Psalm. It's not in our hymnal, but I'd like you to hear these words. "He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. Oh, may thy house be my abode and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest, no more a stranger, while others come and go, no more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home." Watts is writing the scriptures in words that we can understand. God brings my wandering spirit back to the paths of truth and grace when I don't follow his ways. God's house will be my house, where I will be contented, not a stranger nor a guest, but comfortable at home like a child. "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." Because of the unlimited scope of the blessing, God's mercy, we needn't shrink from the truth about ourselves. Jesus' precious blood exposes and embraces our broken realities. The hymn tells us that we are constantly in debt to God for the grace he covers us with, and that that grace could be what keeps us from wandering from the fold, the flock, from Jesus' side. "It Is Well With My Soul," a song that we sang in the last couple of months, was written by Horatio Spafford. And if you remember the story of how the song came about, the tragedy of Mr. Spafford losing his four children in a shipwreck as his family was making their way back to England. While on his journey to join his wife, the captain announced they were passing the location where the shipwreck occurred, and Mr. Spafford was once again seized with grief. Like Paul writing in Philippians, though, in chapter 4, verse 11, Mr. Spafford could say, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Whatever my lot, God has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though trials should come from Satan, I'm assured that Christ has shed his own blood for my soul, for that one lost sheep." In the song, he says, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Mr. Spafford is emphatic that not just part, but all of my sin is nailed to the cross. Jesus didn't die for part of my sin, but for all of it. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. My heart is a wandering heart. I've made a stranger of myself to God, myself, and others. Indeed, we are all prone to wander. In case you missed it, this proneness is repeated in "Come Thou Fount." Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Like the sheep that are so often referenced in the Bible, we nibble a little here, we nibble a little there, head down, dumbly wandering away, losing sight of our protector, the one who cares and can lead us to life everlasting and back into the fold. There's a contemporary song that we sing called "Reckless Love" by Corey Asbury that talks about the shepherd leaving the 99 to find that one that wandered away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That kind of sounds like the fount of every blessing, doesn't it? It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. like the parable of the lost sheep. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. You give yourself away. When I was your foe, your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me, forgiving our sins and nailing it all to the cross. Many people claim freedom as God's greatest blessing, but we're not so free as we think. We find ourselves shackled to sin and mortality. We would prefer to be tethered to our caring God. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. In case you're not clear, fetters are a tool that are used to restrain movement, such as handcuffs for people or a larger apparatus to keep animals, such as horses, from wandering too far at night. I read a lot of horse-themed novels when I was growing up, and camping cowboys would fetter their horses so they could find them in the morning. If we're fettered or bound to Jesus, we can't wander nearly as far as an unfettered creature. When I look at today's scripture, I imagine that I'm that one sheep, head down, nibbling away, distracted by shiny objects, wandering from Jesus and the blessings of God's mercy. The hymns and songs we sing remind me that Jesus is looking for me to bring me back to the flock, to walk by his side, to pour endless blessing over me, to nail my sin to the cross, the whole, not the part. That is the lesson we should take from Lent, that our God is a forgiving God. Singing the songs of forgiveness tightens the strings of our hearts to sing God's praise in tune with God. Amen.